when you make your move, is the desk not coming with?
I'm going to ideally replace this desk before I make my move.
Well, I was wondering about that, but then
I know
it keeps, well, keeps being here.
Well, this could be what we talk about. I was going to find and talk about something else, but I spent $2,000 on a new PC.
Oh, yeah.
And that new PC has not arrived yet because that new PC got sent to the carrier, and then apparently the label was damaged by the time it got to the carrier and
Shit.
Then sent back. So now it's just like sitting, I don't know, it's either sitting at Newegg or sitting at UPS or something. And I
Wait,
can't.
Wait, so do you have any idea when it's going to be delivered?
I have no idea when it's going to be delivered, if it's going to be delivered, if it doesn't get delivered, how I would get my money back or anything like that. I don't know. It's a very anxiety-ridden procedure. And it's like, okay, I bought this a couple weeks ago. Or actually, no, maybe like a... No, I not a couple weeks ago. It's 1 week ago. Shipper, yeah. And then they got voided information received. The good news is that this... the voided information received, like, both Newegg and UPS agree that that is what has happened.
Okay.
There was a while where that wasn't the case, and I was like, uh-oh.
Who's going to have to argue with who about what happened?
Okay. But. Like, I didn't... Like, I don't... Like... As far as electronics and insurance, I tend not to get that kind of thing because it's like they're never going to, the electronics manufacturers are never going to honor it anyway. They just mm-hmm. take extra money.
Oh, yeah, like warranty stuff. Yeah,
thankfully, no, I didn't buy shipping, but every time I did ship things, I would buy that insurance because, oh my God.
Okay, so you have the insurance at least.
No, I didn't buy this. Like, you can't, I'm not the one shipping.
Oh, right. Okay, it's a new egg to have the insurance and then they should take care of it. Okay, in theory.
Yeah.
Is it like a pre-built PC? Just comes
out
of the box?
It was a pre-built because, like, my motherboard is like, everything just needs to be replaced anyway.
Yeah.
The motherboard, they came out with a new, what, I don't know, level of RAM, the DDR5 RAM now.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I think I've seen that.
Like, well, I may as well just get the whole thing because I'm not going to replace a motherboard and get thermal paste and put the everything. I'm not doing that.
What are you excited to play on your new PC?
Probably all the games I've been complaining about my frame rates dropping this entire year. Just anything else. I'm also excited to have work done and then have it be a little bit faster.
That next answer
and
to you game
making podcasts and stuff and
next
broadcasting.
Is going to run buttery smooth.
Boom, ba-dum, boom, 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 ba-dum, boom, 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 boom. The Microsoft game with the soundtrack that makes you want to fuck SimAnt. It's Maxis, isn't it? Oh well.
It is Maxis, yes.
Welcome on, and welcome all to Storm Buds, the video game podcast with a monthly collection of games where we talk about games pertaining to a particular theme every month, and this is December.
I think one of the things we're going to work on is probably getting that elevator pitch down by about a dozen words.
Absolutely not. This episode, we're talking about SimAnt, and before we get into that, I should probably tell you who I am, right? That's how these things work. I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrook.
Good afternoon.
Woohoo!
That's right, afternoon. We're recording it in the afternoon because I thought that would be easier, and then it turned out not to be.
Okay, well, lesson learned, I guess. This is a really interesting game to talk about in light of last month's news that the U.S. Copyright Office would not let libraries lend game for study over the internet. SimAnt, a game that is voluntarily preserved by Maxis itself. Tell us more about SimAnt and why we're playing it today.
SimAnt is a 1991 life simulation video game from Maxis, in particular from the era of Maxis when it was really creatively headed by Will Wright. Will Wright, if you are not familiar with him, was basically the head of Maxis. This is like, you know, late 80s, early 90s. Computer games are very much a thing. They're a big industry, but they're still pretty niche, and there's still a lot of sort of like exploration going on in the space. And alongside all the people coming out with, like, you know, early RPGs, like the early Wizardry games, or people doing stuff with ZX Spectrums and Commodore 64s and things like that. There was, Will Wright was a guy who was like, hey, what if we could make effectively interactive simulations. He wasn't the first guy to do this, but Maxis was the first studio to really, I think, go big with a portfolio of commercial products that were interested in this, starting, obviously, with SimCity. You know SimCity. Everyone's played SimCity. It's the game where you put down the green districts for houses and the blue districts for buildings, and then you build a nuclear power plant, and then there's a bunch of fallout everywhere.
So houses are not buildings. Houses are in their own district, and then buildings are in their other district.
Commercial buildings. What I'm getting at here is, and I wanted to do SimAnt kind of, because SimAnt is an ant colony simulation game. Mm-hmm. In practice, what that means is it's sort of like a proto-RTS back before the RTS genre really was well-defined, but it also has a lot of sort of systems stuff running under the hood. I think the defining feature of the sim games of this period is that they were really interested in attempting to implement complex systems that could then sort of interact organically and produce novel and unexpected results. And this was the thing that I found really, I think, lacking from Sim Farm and from like some of the more recent things that we call simulations that come out on, like, you know, Steam every month or whatever, Power Wash Simulator, etc., which is that, like, those are the attempts to maybe like capture something about an individuated experience about being in a world and doing something. But these games were about trying to understand processes and then model them and then play them out and give people ways to sort of interact with those and produce complex results. Now, a lot has been said and written about how the entire concept of the simulation, of this kind of simulation, tries to be non-ideological, right? Tries to just be objective, just like a scientific replication of the real world. Obviously, that is not the case. Ideology is all over these kind of simulation games. This is especially the case in stuff like SimCity. Less so in something like SimAnt, but I wanted to flag that as something to be thinking about in terms of what we think about.
I mean, you say less so in SimAnt. I absolutely get a lot of messages about the empowerment of the proletariat and taking down... taking down the rich man in his kitchen.
The March on Versailles. But
yeah. That's basically what this game is.
Mm-hmm. So SimAnt comes out in 1991. This is, like I said, it's a kind of a proto-RTS in which you control a colony of ants. I say proto-RTS because the RTS genre is not totally non-existent before this point. There's some stuff in the 80s. But this is a year before Dune 2, which is kind of the one that establishes a lot of the modern RTS paradigm, and from which a lot of influence will then spread out to stuff like Warcraft and Starcraft and everything else. Mm-hmm. It's still kind of unusual at this point to have a bunch of little guys running around in real time attempting to accomplish tasks on a top-down battlefield. And what you do is you have your queen ant, and you dig her into the ground, and she lays a bunch of eggs, and then you become a worker ant, and you go out there and start gathering food, and you gather food and bring it back while the red ants across the patch are trying to do the same thing. And you use a variety of sliders to do things like control which types of ants are being bred by your queen and control which activities those ants are doing. And you, if at all possible, launch daring raids on the red ants to eradicate them. And eventually you get to a point where you can then launch new queens, which spread further across the lawn. And you are basically trying to colonize this entire suburban house lawn with the goal of getting to the kitchen and driving these people out of their home.
Pretty much. There's all of the systems that you have described and then and put in place they sound intimidating, but this game is actually quite simple. Once it's gotten into it, the ant farm sort of slowly grows itself, thankfully. And I found that to be a big relief as I tried to play this game, but ended up just getting sort of frustrated and confused and bewildered as it was going on, because I was playing the archived version, and this is what, 1991? We're not going to get 60 frames a second here. We are, in fact, getting 0.5 frames a second. This game this version of the game is not exactly visually up to snuff. There's a Super Nintendo version and a Mac version as well. There's like later versions of this game that probably would have been better, but I just stuck with this one because it was $0 and zero downloads. The aesthetics of this game otherwise, the music, being as rudimentary as it is, still kind of iconic. Like, I alluded to the main theme being weirdly... weirdly funky for what it is. Not quite like Tim Fallon levels of math rock, but still some real jazzy stuff.
It's got a crunchy beat
that lasts
to it.
It lasts for about a minute, and then you are bombarded with repetitive noises of clicks, beeps, and bum ba 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 every 5 seconds, and it's like a sonic dream turned into a sonic nightmare after a little while. The sound design in this game also, it's just everything is just so abrupt because of the frame rate too, right? When you run next to your queen ant and then she just gives you food, you're just treated with a horrible view of a larger ant giving a globule of barf to your ant and going bleh.
It's so right, because the other thing about this game, right? Why Sim Ant? Well, Will Wright apparently read a big book about ants that just came out and got super inspired by the research and was like, I'm all about ants now. And so this game has like a little ant encyclopedia full of ant facts that you can study and read for no reason.
This is a study of neurodivergent hyperfocus Sim Ant. And this was before the internet fully poisoned our minds back then. So people could actually get things done.
It's attempting to like model things like ant scent trails and the ways that ants feed each other with the barf, like you talked about. Mm-hmm. And like it's got all these little things in it that, again, like, is this an accurate portrayal of ant farm dynamics? Questionable.
It's certainly dramatic. It's
yes.
dramatic. Oh, it's both its sound design and its writing.
I love the writing in this game.
You would not expect this game to have the writing that it does, but when you what like you mentioned, after you build your first little colony in the tunnel, once you get the tutorial just says once you get up into the overworld, into the lawn, just has a little note right after the fact. After the fact says, you're outside now. Note, you can die up here. If you get got, the game is very matter-of-fact about how you gruesomely died. It's like, the fiend bites your limbs off. The spiders digest you whole. And then after you die, but every time after you die, right? It's a colony, you're in a hive mind, and you're replaceable. And then a little yellow egg pops out from the nearest colony with a queen in it. And it says, you have been reborn!
Can I read you my favorite death notification?
Is it, you have been electrocuted?
No, it's, the evil lawnmower has sucked you into its giant whirring blades. Your body is reduced to a thin slime.
That's really good. I don't think that happened to me.
Yeah,
I was way too scared of the lawnmower to go die to it. Because it's just...
Sucked into a lawnmower, eaten by a spider, eaten by an ant lion. There's so many ways for your ant to die.
Yeah, but it's only scary the first time it happens. Also, just because it's so sudden and just everything happens all at once in one... one frame every other second.
Again, each of these is accompanied by like a quite terrifying little illustration of your aunt dying or being dismembered.
Bespoke illustrations and sounds for each death. Very good. That was probably the most fun thing to make in this. The other was, I think the colony music has a sick beat to it as well. I'm wondering if DJ Cutman hasn't already done something on that shit. I'll have to take a look on Spotify. But if not, if you're listening, DJ Cutman, get on that one. Get on that colony beat. Going into spoiler territory, I also really loved the image that you get after you do kick the man out with the cat and the dog. Did mm-hmm. you see that?
No, I didn't see this one. I got to the kitchen. I did not manage to get them out of the house. Well, because I faffed
like,
around.
Once you get them out, they're just all startled. And they're just like, there's a green, like on a green screen with a black countertop. The cat is pulling the dog's ears. They're all weirdly muscular. They're all like Final Fantasy 14 muscular, like those old behemoths. And they just have like dilated pupils. But it's just like this still life, just like the rest of everything in Sim Ant. It's so funny.
I did not. So the problem that I ran into actually was I forgot that you have to like go to like the strategy layer of the yard and select in order to have your queens fly out and form new colonies.
Yeah, and you got to get all of them under and like you just got to populate the whole grid.
Uh-huh.
Do that.
So I just ran my main colony until it got to like 100 ants, and I was like, huh, I've got a bunch of like flying queens around, but they aren't taking off. And then I figured it out. But by the time I figured it out, even though I had eradicated the red ants in my patch by starving them, it turns out that while I'd been doing that, the red ants themselves had just completely taken over the house.
Yeah.
I pulled up the map, and it was just us giant series of red bar graphs all over the house where the red ants were.
Oops. Oh, well, that sounds like a challenging climb up. One thing you can do that was really frustrating. It's hard to play on. I don't know. I mean, you had to play this on mouse and keyboard, but like just kind of click and pick things up and then try to move your ant around with all with clicking. Like I found myself dropping shit constantly.
Yeah.
So that made trying to pick up rocks and put them over the red ant colonies really hard. But it was really rewarding once you got that done, because that colony, they can't pick up rocks. I don't know why. They just can't. They get fucked by the rocks. So that's one way to take those colonies out if you ever get to. But it'd probably be easier for you to just start over. The man is also kind of funny as well. Yeah, I love that he's blissfully unaware of the impending ant invasion. He's just running around the house saying, like, I love to eat. Time for laundry. So again, surprising how good the writing is in this
game. A lot of personality. Weirdly, a lot of personality for a game about controlling an ant colony.
You said you have quite a storied history with this game. I had not played it until now. So
I just like so this was one of the games that like the local library, in fact, like had a huge collection of Maxis games, and like, and they were all old by the time I was playing them. I was playing this game in like 2001, 2002, and it came out like a decade earlier. Mm-hmm. But like, I didn't have money to buy games. I would go to the library and I would check out their copy of Sim Ant, or check out their copy of Sim Farm or Sim Earth. And I think, like, kind of like what I was alluding to at the start of the episode, I have a lot of nostalgia for the time period when kind of like interactive software had this sort of almost like playful, aspirational bent to it of like, here we have a computer. What can we do with it? Can we make a simulation of trying to manage an ant colony? And is that interesting? And is that fun? And I'm not saying that like that modern games necessarily need to go back to that, because in some ways also this game is very limited in the ways that we've already run up against, and I don't know that like really high fidelity systemic simulations are actually all that fun to mess around with once the novelty of it wears off. But I don't know.
We do have BeamNG.drive.
We do have BeamNG.drive. which is a complex simulation in its own right.
Yeah. When I think of this kind of era of games, I think of things like the Chip Challenge as well.
Yeah.
Those old MS-DOS games. I'm kind of wondering when they're going to make a remake of that one tutorial game on Windows where your mouse is a literal mouse and then you had to drag the pizza into the oven. Do you remember that?
Am I don't
crazy?
Remember.
They should make a AAA remake of that game, fully action with QuickTime events and everything like that. It would be really, really interactive and interesting. That's my elevator pitch. I am expecting a budget of $25 million, Sharks. If you could get that to me by next week, that would be really great. I'm trying to buy a small apartment in a metropolitan area.
Hey, want to guess something fun? Yes.
Okay.
What year do you think Chip Challenge 2 came out in?
2023. 2015. I was like, it sure didn't come out. I was like, I had no idea, but I was like, it certainly didn't come out before 2000. Yeah.
They made a sequel to Chip's Challenge. It just looks like Chip's Challenge.
Hell yeah.
And they did not update anything.
Perfect. God, I gotta play that. It's dope. Chip died in so many ways back then. Chip's Challenge episode of Storm Buds? Don't think that's gonna happen. That is, I think, more than enough that needs to be said about Sim Ant. You can check it out at, where is it? I'm going to give everyone the URL. You can check out Sim Ant for yourself at archive.org/details/MS-DOS_Sim_Ant_Dash_Electric_Ant_Colony_1991, or Google it. You can play it for yourself for $0. It's in the Internet Archive. This is one of the games that you can, in fact, access for free via the Internet. Again, funny, you mentioned local libraries having video game collections. You're just going to have to go in person to get them, I suppose, for the foreseeable future. Or if you can't or won't don't want to do that, then, well, I guess there's literally nothing you could do to access games over the internet.
Nope. Just no options.
Not one option.
And nothing that we're going to say on air.
Nothing that we could ever endorse. And we endorse a lot of bullshit, like the stuff that's coming up in this upcoming ad break. I'm sure that will be a perfectly fine thing to endorse. I'm going to go learn Semaphore. And while the ad break runs back, and
that's fun.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's a new Rosetta Stone course. That could have been an ad. I should reach out to them for that.
That's actually, damn it.
Shit, I ruined it.
That's really good.
Oh well.
No, cut this bit.
No, I'm using it. And then we're gonna go learn that, and we'll be right back after the ad break.
We're gonna read some ads.
You know, Jerome.
Uh oh.
We're going into like the cold, dark winter months, right? In some ways, they're already here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like me, like every winter you end up picking up some new hobby that you get super into for like 3.5 months, and then come spring you realize that you're not very good at it and you put it down and kind of just move on and forget about it, like me breaking bread last year.
Yeah, and me with podcasting.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of folks, they turn to like, you know, crocheting or knitting or making doilies, you know, the kind of stuff that you can just put a lot of time into while like, you know, it's like a repetitive action, but also you can watch TV. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the like crafts. Me, like me with pickup artistry.
The crafting part of arts and crafts. This week, we are sponsored by Formalda Buddies. They send you incredibly convenient kits to do your own at home taxidermy.
Hmm. Okay.
You get a box in the mail, and it will contain 1 to 2 ethically sourced dead animals of the small to medium variety, along with all of the resources that you require to preserve their corpses, put them into poses, replace their eyeballs, and generally get them ready for display around your home.
Can I change the eyeballs out with whatever I want?
I mean, I suppose they can't stop you. What do you have in mind?
Oh, I was going to get some Swarovski crystals. Put those in a little chipmunk.
If you want to create a cursed object that will terrify all of your guests, yeah, sure, no reason not to. Once you get your Formalda Buddies kit, it's simple as setting up an 8x10 tabletop that has been sterilized and making sure that you arrange everything on the kit out in front of you. And then it's just, you know, a 6-hour process during which you basically need to pay complete attention to what you're doing or else risk damaging the entire object at hand. But then once it's finished, you will have an incredible preserved animal of the squirrel or mouse variety that you can just put it on over your mantelpiece to just, like, you know, stare at you. You can arrange them in cute poses with some of the add-on kits, like the little mouse holding an umbrella or a mongoose that has a grape in its mouth. Or you can turn your whole apartment into a little furry wonderland.
Do they have cormorants?
Not legally.
Hmm.
But I've been told if you contact their customer service department and then they give you a phone number that you then call with an unlicensed number, and then you can arrange some drops from a guy in the park who will take cash money from you. There are things outside of the official portfolio or the official catalog if you need them.
Do they have lamprey eels?
Ooh, I don't know if they have lamprey eels. That's a good idea, though. We should submit that.
Okay, that'd be a really fun one.
Yeah, it's just like a big eel hanging from your chandelier, kind of like wrapped around like your bulbs.
You could put a little speaker in there and have it play Sia.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're cooking.
Yeah.
And then you could post a video of this on Instagram, and it could get like 1 million views, and it'd be great marketing for Formalda Buddies.
Fantastic. Yes. So social media for Formalda Buddies is popping. Look at, there's somebody there who's got a heron, and then they replaced the beak with a power drill, and they're using that heron to put artwork up in their home.
Oh, that's kind of in poor taste, actually.
They're using the heron to mount a deer whose antlers have been replaced with coat hangers.
Jesus. Wow. People are getting really creative with their Formalda Buddies, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
I guess it really is. It really, that's the craft part of the arts and crafts of this.
Yeah, you could do whatever you want with your passed on remains of wildlife. And you can get a huge bonus if you sign up now at www.formaldebuddies.co.biz/stormbuds, and you can enter the promo code stormbuds at checkout of any small to medium animal, and you can get a 10% discount, and it lets them know that Stormbuds sent you to Formaldebuddies.
Yes, it's very important that they know that, you know, that their customers are avid Stormbuds listeners.
Yeah,
that the overlap between the Stormbuds listener and the people interested in amateur at home taxidermy is a circle. Is that
and specifically
diagram.
Small to medium animals?
Yes, we're not, no large ones, unfortunately.
No meese. Definitely no whales. Don't do that one.
Nope. A friend of mine actually did get the whale kit last year, and it pulled up in a truck, but that was like a $25,000 investment. So,
oh my gosh. Unfortunately,
I wouldn't
they don't
start
want to give
there.
You 10% off of that one.
I'd work your way up to the whale.
Preserve your love for nature with Formaldebuddies.
When you're bored and sitting at home, why not stuff an animal?
What's that smell? Formaldebuddies! Did you know that on the Beatles album Help, they're not doing the semaphore for help?
What are they doing the semaphore for?
Come.
Is that real? I don't
know. C-U-M exclamation point.
I can never tell with you. That could be real. Whatever.
So that's what I learned in my semaphore class today. It was fun. It's fun to see all the little, learn about all the little misrepresentations like that. Like, you know, the kind of like akin to the eagle noise, not really being an eagle, it being a red-tailed hawk.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and the spirit born, then just calling it eagle form in Diablo 4, but really it's a red-tailed hawk. And it's like, you guys could have just done hawk. Like, hawk form sounds cool too. I don't know why they decided to feed the beast with that one.
Obviously, no Animorphs kids on staff.
Speaking of beasts, we are doing, of course, a full-on ant episode. And I have taken a note from you, Alex. I know you wanted to work on some of your acting and voicing skills.
Oh, God.
So I've got a really great exercise for you here. This is a segment we're going to... Because you're down for anything, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is a segment I like to call Down for Maintenance, where you are going to be down to maintain your ant character in various situations.
I don't know what any of that means.
Down for Maintenance is, of course, the Final Fantasy XIV level 676 quest from Jarek and Amarain during the train segment.
Sure. Okay.
So that's where
that
comes from. Just because people really like the etymology of our segment names at this point.
Is it the one thing we preserve going forward? Is it the segments are still named after Final Fantasy XIV quest?
I bet your tits it is.
Okay, so we're in Down for Maintenance.
We're in Down for Maintenance. I am going to give you a prompt, and you are going to kind of vocalize and give, you know, practice your understanding and your representation of that prompt, similar to how, you know, in SimAnt there would be these sort of vocal, there'd be these sort of grotesque noises that would happen. Yes, exactly. So, let's just start baseline here. First prompt here, an ant.
Just an ant?
Yeah, what's an ant?
What does an ant sound like?
Yeah. All right. Good. That's our baseline. You could stop. You can stop. There's a lot of these. You don't... All right, next up is an ant getting royal jelly from the queen. Nice. Good. Next prompt. An ant giving off a danger pheromone. An ant sending their child off to their first day of kindergarten.
Now, Miles, if anything goes wrong, the teacher has my number, but I'm also giving you this cell phone, and if the teacher won't call me, then you can use the cell phone to call me, yeah. and if you can just call me if you want to, okay? Does that be any reason? You go in there, and I'm going to see you at the end of the day, and everything is going to be all right.
Okay, Daddy. Okay. I'll call you on the cell phone. The bus. Here's the bus. Daddy.
A notable departure from the first ant. Interesting. We didn't... that ant got a lot more emotional. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Okay, next prompt. An ant in a tussle with a neighboring red ant. Okay. Wow, that was evocative. An ant commanding an army to take down a menacing spider.
Men, he's just beyond that hill. Many of you will die, some of you will live. But we die to defend the queen.
I'm coming for you.
Charge!
Oh,
I don't know why I'm doing taps. It's not like they play that one.
See, that's good. It's good. Sometimes it's good to self-reflect, but also you just got to go with it.
Yeah, right. No, you're right.
Sometimes you make a wrong choice, and improv is a field that's really great. It's a really successful scam because, of course, failure is success in improv.
I mean, sometimes you make a wrong choice, like leading all your ants over the hill into the spider, and they all just die.
Yeah, well, that's still a successful scene. Speaking of scenes, we got to keep moving. But hey, good. We're doing learning today and down for maintenance. An ant hanging up on a collector trying to get them to make payments on their poorly thought out business loan.
Bring, 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 bring. Bring, 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 bring.
Hello. No.
Whoa, heavy phone. I love it.
It's an old rotary phone. I don't know. Yeah, why it. In my head it was not a cell phone. It was like an old like rotary dial that you like drop on the cradle.
Oh, fantastic. This is scene. That adds a lot. It adds a lot to the picture. I love it. Okay. An ant being rejected at the bank for a mortgage due to their bad credit because of they couldn't make payments on their poorly thought out business loan.
Okay, I'll come back. Not really. The bank doesn't really try that.
But like, there's nothing you can do. I have a lot of assets in my savings account. Like, look, like if I cash out to my 401k?
I don't really wouldn't advise
like after
that.
We pay the taxes.
I really wouldn't advise that.
No, like after tax, it'll still net like 70%. Like I can get like another.
Listen, this is
another $35,000.
I know this is Ant Bank USA, USA Ant Bank, but and we we'll give anyone a loan because like that means that we can just make up money and get more of it later. But this is like too rough even for us.
Can we like increase like the insurance amount? I could pay like additional $100 a month.
The PMI is going to be way too high. You're going to end up like we don't want to be responsible.
Okay, what if I got my great uncle as a co-signer?
Listen, I
like anyone else like buoy the credit score. Like
you're gonna. I suppose we're up
so what? To anything. So I just go keep renting where I pay more than the mortgage payment every month in rent. Just that's how this works. I can't afford the house, so I'm going to just go spend more money on renting from someone else.
Sir, there is always one option.
No, this is bullshit.
I can only give you so much financial advice.
Is this because I'm a fire ant? Huh? Is this because I'm a fire ant? Are you turning me down? Because
the only thing that's red here is your credit score. How did you get it negative?
I don't need this bullshit. I don't need you. I don't need any of you.
Sir, okay.
You don't need to call. No, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm headed out the door, and I'm going to leave a bad review for you on every platform I can find. I hope none of your customers come from Yelp.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Loved that. Great scene. An ant enjoying a globule of Coca-Cola. Oh, wow. Okay, I really felt that one. An ant, down on his luck, having a heart-to-heart with his ant bartender.
I don't understand, man. They said, I've been saving money for like three fucking years. And then the interest rates are going up and the bad.
Listen, Jeff, it's okay. It's hard times are hard, just times that are bad and hard, you know? And we're all here for everyone, but
my grandpa had his own nest and my dad had his own nest. And I'm the first one of our family in three generations who is not going to own any kind of property.
Yeah. Well, that seems to be the regular case these days. The property values have just gone.
I just
gone.
Don't get it, man. I just don't get it. I don't understand. How's the fucking economy, man? They say it's the economy, but like, who is the economy working for? Is it working for you and me? No, it's not working for you and me. It's working for that fucking guy.
How is those Royal Jelly coasters that coming along? That business idea you had with the coasters made out of royal jelly.
I got like 30,000 coasters, man. They're as good as cash as soon as I can move them.
Okay. Yeah, I hope that works out for you, buddy.
It's an asset on my balance sheet. That should have been enough for them. That's the collateral for the loan right there.
How about one on the house?
Thank you.
Gosh, really gripping. Really gripping stuff. An ant, just realizing their screen is still being displayed in the meeting after they were done presenting, and they had been broadcasting to the entire company that they were playing Magic the Gathering during the meeting.
I just wanted to file my resignation.
Now, in front of God and everyone? It's Jeff.
No, it's a little embarrassing that I got caught playing Magic the Gathering, but it's a lot embarrassing that everyone watched me lose 6 matches in a row piloting Mono Red.
You know, yeah, we tried telling you, but it turns out you were deafened, and you just kept going bad. It was real bad. I had bad beats.
I didn't even get like mana screwed or anything. I had a great mana curve. It's just I'm realizing I might be bad at this game.
You're also not very good at marketing, so. We were gonna have like a meeting, but since you just want to quit,
you just want to deactivate my accounts right now.
You just go. No, don't. I mean, okay, no, it's fine. You could play out this draft. That's okay. I get it. This is a good food opener. You got a good green black thing going here.
So. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know. I mean, I might like. It's green black.
No, take the bacon to a pie. That's a good one.
Oh. It's a good one?
Yeah, take that one.
But it's so inefficient.
It's really not, dude. It says destroy target creature on it. You don't have any removal.
I guess. Should I?
As your boss, you gotta just send the signal that black is being taken.
Okay, what about this 7-mana combat trick? Like, it's expensive, but if I pull it off...
It would win you the game if you did pull it off. But and we do have green for the ramp, but the 7-mana combat trick is the 3 other colors. I don't even know why Flying Crane Kick is in this set. Why is this a special guest card?
It's a preview for Modern Horizons 7.
Okay, wow. Yeah, all right. I forgot about that. Okay, no, maybe don't do that one. All right, cool. Pat, get out. An ant out on a nice walk when suddenly they remember the humiliating moment, their former job, where they forgot they were sharing their screen after they had been done presenting and broadcasted to their entire office that they were playing Magic the Gathering.
Oh, man!
Yeah, that sounds about right. We're almost done.
I can't believe that you had a 6-mana combat trick in blue, red, and white ready to go.
Oh, 6-mana, fuck!
Dude, for being that close, I cannot believe you had Flying Crane Technique ready to go.
I was there. There surely is a blue, red one that is 7, though.
I still think that is crazy impressive.
An ant smoking weed. Through the nose.
Oh man, this is some good shit.
I bet, dude. Wow, you just snorted that stuff.
Oh shit. Oh man. Oh no. Oh, I'm gonna go throw up. Oh shit. Oh. I cannot keep the.
Oh my god. And finally, an ant on their deathbed, surrounded by loved ones. After having smoked some weed. Oh, Grandpapa, I'm going to miss you terribly.
I love all of you. I love you, Jeremiah and Susan.
What?
And Tobias.
Huh?
And Mark and Anthony.
Who are these people?
And Karen and Aloysius.
My name's Janine.
And Peter and Jeremy and Bradley.
Did he say Jeremy
and
twice?
Elaine and Matthias and Skipper and Shauna.
He said goodbye to my doll before me. It's okay, child.
And all of my 3,480 other children.
Just let him get through the list.
Wait, I think I can. And
do you see the light, Grandpapa?
I see. It's like a giant.
Yeah. Normally, we don't actually want to be around for the moment of death.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank you, Nurse Jack.
Yeah, no problem. Do you guys need a minute, or can I take it? We got 1,700,000 more ants in an ant hospice, waiting to use this bed. So we gotta.
Yeah. No, it's all right. It's all right. We have another grandpapa's funeral to go to this afternoon, so we've better get going, children. And that was Down for Maintenance.
I feel like, okay, I just stretched my creative muscles a little bit.
That's good. I think that was a lot of fun. It really got us into the mindset of being an ant.
Yeah, definitely. I feel very embodied at the moment. I can almost feel my extra set of legs and my antenna and my forceps.
I can almost taste the royal jelly. Well, I think that was a really rousing discussion of SimAnt and adjacent material. I really appreciated spending the time talking with you. And I appreciated 20 minutes of getting into this game and then the rest of the hour spent watching a video of it, because I'm not necessarily a big RTS
I did play like 4 hours of this game. I
watched quite a bit of fun with the ending through video, because don't like it, don't like this, don't really like StarCraft or Warcraft, don't like Pikmin. It's not my genre, sorry. But you know, interesting. I learned a lot and I appreciated it. I appreciated what I appreciated about it, and we are going to continue this Sim Appreciation Week or month next week with Sim 4.
Sim 4. Sim Sephora, makeup empire.
The most recent installment in the mainline Sims franchise, free to start on your whatever platform you want. I have already streamed this at this point on last November, which was the 24th, and my VOD is up there on my personal channel. As of also last Wednesday, because I have had extra time off this week, I made a damn YouTube video.
Ooh.
I did. It went up midnight on Wednesday. It's a chunk of the VOD from my Sims 4 story with Farrah Nouveau. Go check it out. It's on my personal YouTube page. Just Jerome Barbatsis. Fuck my digital footprint. That's gone at this point.
Uh-huh. Yeah, honestly.
That is burnt to a crisp. So you may as well just follow me there. You can also follow my personal Twitch at twitch.tv/JeromeBarbatsis. The spelling is in the description of the episode, alongside our other socials, our Discord and our email. Links are in the link pop there. Speaking of Discord, I did, on the day of the episode last week, put up the polls for the upcoming Heavens Awards, which are the week after our Sims 4.
Very exciting.
So on the 15th, we'll have the Heavens Awards. We've got 3 Bud's Choice categories if you want to vote for those. We've got Best Theme Month. We've got Best Game Short Play and Best Game Long Play. So like the bigger ones got their own category. Compared to the shorter ones, because I thought that's only fair. We spent more time on the big ones, so they should probably have their own little space. Also, the Discord poll only allowed me to put in 20 options per thing, so I was like, well, I need to separate these somehow. So those are up. Go vote on your Heavens Awards choice for the Bud's Choice Awards, and we will see you there. And until our episode on Sims 4, I have been your host of Light, Jerome Barbudsis. That's the first time I've ever said that. And I've been joined by my co-host of like Alexander Hambrock. Say au revoir to the ants.
Au revoir.
All right. Bye.